Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture, with your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection. Tonight's guest is an award-winning novelist who specializes in the romance mystery genre. Her latest novel, published by Revell Books, will be on store shelves in June. Desperate Measures pulls out all the stops in a breakneck and breathtaking conclusion to Sandra Orchard's three-book Port Astor Secret series. Sandra's on the phone with us from her home office in the Dunnville area to talk about her mysteriously romantic career. But before we talk to Sandra, let's listen to Be Still from the Love Was Here first CD by BC's Carolyn Ahrens.
Words fail, but I just keep talking, I derail. There's just no stopping my train of my thoughts. It goes faster and faster. This juggernaut is my natural disaster. My what ifs collide with my wherefores and whys, till the only way that I'll survive is if I will be still and know that you are God. Smoke. I fan the flames and I stand here and choke, till I remember if I want to breathe, then the only remedy is if I.
And now to our interview with Sandra Orchard. Good evening, Sandra.
Hello, Robert.
Now, it's been a couple of years since we've talked, so I want to give our listeners, especially those that are new or those that may have forgotten, a little bit about you and an introduction of who you are and why you do what you do. When did you get started writing?
My first book released in 2011.
But what sort of led you to that point? Like, when did you actually start, you know, writing, whether it was being published or just writing for yourself? What sort of led to that?
Okay. Well, I always loved writing, journaled as a kid, but I didn't really start writing fiction until about 2004. I actually took some writing courses back in the 90s when I was a young mom. Never thought I could write fiction, but after my mom died, I started reading a lot of Christian fiction, and it really helped me work through things. And the more I read, the more I thought I could write this. And in 2004 happened to be, I blew a disc in my back and suddenly had a lot of spare time, where sitting at a computer was the one thing I could do. And so I started writing.
When you started writing, what was it like for you, especially once you got to that point where you actually had something published? You know, what was going through your mind when you first, you know, got the letter back from the publisher saying, yeah, we like what you've done, we want to publish it, you know, let's go ahead?
Oh, I was super excited. I'd been to a lot of conferences. By that time, I had an agent and had been mentored by a lot of writing friends. So, and my own daughter was also writing, so she could totally relate to what a milestone this was. So we had a super celebration over that.
Well, looking at it, and you mentioned you had an agent, you had gone to workshops, you had a few writer mentors and that. Who have been the people that have influenced you as a writer, both even just other writers or even people that have just mentored you along the way and encouraged you along the way to go through? Because being a writer can be, you know, sometimes people just don't understand what it is that you do as a writer.
I have been blessed by so many God moments in the writing journey. I entered contests and got, you know, the kind of boost to persevere when you're getting a lot of rejections or whatever. But I had read a lot of books that said, this takes time. And they would quote, you know, writers who could wallpaper their bathrooms with rejection letters, famous writers. And so I was in it for the long haul. But along the way, I had some really great authors like Margaret Daly and Susan May Warren come alongside me and read my work and offer advice. And even just locally, one time one of my writing magazines went astray, and it was a total God thing. It got delivered to another romance writer in my town who hand-delivered it to my house and invited me to her local group. And then that was just amazing because it wound down to just three of us that got together every couple of weeks, and they were such a blessing to me. And they weren't inspirational writers, but so I had an opportunity to share God's love in their life, and they helped me with my writing, and it was just a total God thing. Super cool.
Well, looking at that, and you mentioned romance, and the genre that you've chosen and have done most of your work in has been romance suspense. What led you to choosing that particular genre as the genre that you're going to focus on?
Well, I love happy endings, and I love the mystery of, I love being able to have to solve things. I majored in math in university, so I'm a problem solver. But I like that extra little bit of the romance and the character development that tends to happen in romances more so than mysteries, especially continuing character mysteries. The characters don't seem to have as much growth as they do in standalone romances.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things, I'm just reading an article lately about the fact that romance seems to be, of all of the genres out there right now, that are out there, that romance seems to be the one genre that is still doing well, is actually maybe even in a growth curve. Did that ever, you know, come to your mind when you were deciding, you know, what you were going to write, or was it just, I like this type of stuff, I'm going to write it, and whether it really makes me any money or not is sort of a beside the point, I'm just going to write this way?
Yeah, I just wrote what I like to read. And I think for people who are listening to this who don't understand what inspirational romance is, it isn't like the Harlequin jumping into bed or, you know, what you're seeing on TV kind of romance. It's about character growth and becoming a person that can be in a long-term relationship, like evolving that character so that they're a person who can love and be loved. And I just love the happily ever after because that's, you know, the dream.
Yeah, and as well, you're writing both in the love-inspired series of works plus the books you've done with Revell, which is part of Baker House. You have the added opportunity to express your faith and to express, to have a faith expression within those books as well.
Yes, it was very nice. They're different too because it's more on the page with the love inspired, but with the mystery series, it's more in the symbolism because, for example, the series revolves around her reconciling that she lost her father when she was 10, but he made this declaration to her the last time he saw her, that no matter what happens or how things look, she needs to remember that he always loved her. So you can see, hopefully, the spiritual parallels to God the Father. You know, things don't always look great. And we need to, you know, come to the point, do we believe that God loves us even when things don't look great? So although it's not so much spelled out on the page, it's there in the symbolism of the story.
Well, looking at that, I think we need to, and I want to explore that a little bit more, especially as we look at your upcoming novel, the third part of the Port Astra Secrets series. But we need to take a quick break, and then we'll continue our conversation with novelist Sandra Orchard. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM.
It's me. It's me, oh Lord.
Arts Connection. You've been listening to Standing in the Need of Prayer from Carolyn Aaron's Love Was Here CD. Love Was Here first CD. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to continue our conversation with novelist Sandra Orchard. Sandra, Desperate Measures, the next book that's coming out in June, is the last of the Port Astra Secret series. Did you always intend this to be a three-book series?
Yes, I pitched it as a three-book series. Although how it evolved is totally different than the original way I pitched it.
Well, looking at that, and I think, you know, I've read the first book, and I've read, you know, I've had a chance to see things and see them develop. That, how do you sort of walk us through this whole logistics of planning a three-book series? Because you've got the story arc that carries through all of the books, but yet each individual book itself has its own story arc. So how do you work that? How do you develop that as a writer without totally confusing yourself?
Well, it's a learning process, because I pulled a lot of hair out in book three, because I did have a lot of strings that I had to pull together in book three, and I deliberately left all those strings. But like you said, I planned each book as a standalone mystery. So I laid out the romance tidbits through the first two books, as you would if you were just writing one book. So I looked at three books as if they were one, in terms of laying out the little underlying suspense plot hints and the romance hints. However, when I got to book three, I had a total separate mystery planned and realized there was no way that I could do that mystery and tie everything together in the word count I was allowed. So the final mystery became very different in the end, and basically had to revolve around Kate's drive to figure out what is so special about the plant that tore her father from her life, which is the underlying suspense that carries through the book.
Well, when you were looking at it, and when you were looking at the finishing, getting to the point where you were putting the finishing touches on Desperate Measures on this third book, what was going through your mind as you know, especially as you've now probably gone through the whole editing process and now everything is just out there and the publisher's got it, and you no longer have anything to, you know, there's no more writing to do with this. What was going through your mind as you were finishing all of that?
Absolute relief. But by the end, I was pretty tired of these characters. I was ready to kill her off. Oh, wait, I did kill her off. That's how I got through it. I did these little Facebook posts because, yeah, they drove me crazy. These characters get in your head, and then they don't cooperate with you. And mm-hmm. It was very nice to hand them over to my publisher and let them deal with them.
How do you think you're going to react to fans that, you know, they've read this and they're sort of, they themselves have become so attached to the characters that they want more, they want to know more about what's going to happen, and, you know, even if you've wrapped everything up from past books in this last one, there are always still questions that people, you know, what's going to happen next? Where is this going to go? How are you going to handle that type of feedback?
Well, I have a email list. They subscribe to my newsletter, and occasionally I will write a short story that shows my characters later. So I've done this with a few of my books when readers have written and asked about certain characters. And in the very end of Desperate Measures, I have included an epilogue. So you do have a glimpse of Tom and Kate, two years after the book ends. So it gives the reader a little bit.
And I remember going back to Deadly Devotion, which was the first of the Port Astor Secrets series. And a lot of the research that you did, especially in terms of plants, because you're dealing with plants and herbs and things like that, was there just as much research that you needed to do for book three as book one, or sort of how did that all sort of come together on that research end?
The research accumulated as I went along, but definitely for book three, I got into a lot of corporate espionage type things with pharmaceutical companies, and I also brought in some very different things concerning South America and drugs and mines. Don't want to give too much away, but I had to do a lot of research into how the FBI deals with things outside the country that come into their country, and subsequently how they would work with Canadians, because it became an international type mystery.
Well, when you're dealing with things like that, and I'm thinking, you know, you're talking about, you know, you just mentioned the FBI. Yeah, and a lot of times when you're working on these things, and because in some cases there's police procedures going on, are you just able to call up a police department and say, hey, can you help me? I mean, would you have called up the FBI, for instance, and say, how does this work? Or how would you get that kind of information for a book like this?
Well, actually, I do just call them up. I am currently working on a new series where the heroine is an FBI or crime detective. So I had applied to the FBI to be able to visit headquarters. So they do a background check and that sort of thing. And so now I have a contact with the FBI, and I can call her or email her and ask her questions. So I actually arranged this for my third book that I had begun to work on, but it was still while I was in edits with the with the final Desperate Measures book. So I was able to get feedback, and I had to make a couple of corrections as that was in the editing process, because I learned more things from the FBI. Prior to that, I had always been contacting. I have a couple of local police officers who happily answer my questions. And then I have a couple of police officers in the U.S. that also answer my questions. So I've kind of built up a list of experts that I can call on, depending on what kind of story I write. So I have firefighters and paramedics and nurses and that sort of thing. But part of the challenge is knowing the question to ask, because these people don't have time to read my story and point out the mistake. So I need to know what questions to ask them. Otherwise, the mistakes will slip through.
And looking at, and I mean, now you've built up this rapport with these people, but what was it like in the beginning as you were just, you know, initially contacting them and saying, I'm a writer, I'm working on a book, and I need to know, you know, something in terms of the procedure. What was their initial response to you, and how did you sort of get to that point where you've been able to develop that rapport?
Well, I did it on the fly at first, because I didn't tell a lot of people I was writing when I first started. So I had one police officer in our church who was my go-to person. But once word leaked out that I was writing, most experts are very happy to share their knowledge. So when I tell them I'm working on a book, they're usually pretty enthusiastic about answering my questions. And I attended a fabulous Writers Police Academy in the U.S. where you actually attend an academy just like police officers do to train. And I made lots of contacts there, from forensics pathologists to FBI agents to you name it. It was amazing. And a lot of it is networking with other writers, finding the resources online, that sort of thing. I'm actually teaching at Write Canada in a few weeks on this topic of finding your sources and building your sources.
Great. That sounds neat. And I think, you know, you may end up having people connect with you afterwards as well. So, but we need to take one final break, and after that, we'll wrap up our conversation with novelist Sandra Orchard. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM.
There's a mother waking up to news in the night that she cannot bear. Somewhere the whole earth is quaking, making dust of the city that was standing there. Who can say if the trouble comes from above or below, or the hands of come, you help us to remember the promise you make. I know neither death nor life, not the past nor the present, no things to come, no foe, neither death nor height can separate us from the love of Christ.
Separate from the Love Was Here first CD by Carolyn Ahrens. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to wrap up our conversation with novelist Sandra Orchard. Desperate Measures is coming out in June.
It's actually out.
Oh, it's actually out. Okay.
Yeah, I got an email from my local bookstore that it's in the store, and I've heard that online stores are already shipping.
Well, that was my question, is where can people get more information about it?
The local bookstores, hopefully your local Christian bookstores are carrying it. It's also available in ebook. They won't release until May 26th. And all the online stores are carrying it. I have more information on my website, sandraorchard.com, where there are also bonus features for all the books. And I would say please read the series in order, because each subsequent book has spoilers for the previous mysteries. But to make that super easy for anyone with an e-reader, book one, Deadly Devotion, is free right now on e-readers.
Great. Well, Sandra, thanks very much for your time tonight.
Thank you for having me, Robert.
Okay. Thank you for listening to Arts Connection today, and thank you to my guest, Sandra Orchard. If you miss a broadcast or want to hear it again, look for the archive programs on our website at www.salonministries.ca. And be sure to tune in next week for another look where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, a production of Salive Ministries, email Robert at salaministries.ca. Follow us on Twitter at Salah13. Look for the Arts Connection page on Facebook, or check out the Arts Connection blog at rdalelesley.wordpress.com. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.